This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Here are Friday's closing grain futures quotes from the Chicago Board of Trade. July corn, 399 and three quarters, down three quarters. September corn, 378 and a quarter, down eight. December corn, 384 and three quarters, down eight. July soybeans, 1295 and three quarters, down 34. August soybeans, 1195 and three quarters, down 37. September soybeans, 1099 and a quarter, down 22 and a half. July wheat, 514 and three quarters, down 22. September wheat, 526, down 22 and a half. December wheat, 547 and three quarters, down 22 and three quarters. Now time for your cash grain report from the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
Thank you. This is Jerry Milberg with the Illinois Department of Agriculture with Friday's grain market report. The Illinois country grain prices ended lower on Friday afternoon. Today's USDA report verified the rumor that if the weather cooperates, that there will be an abundance of corn, soybeans, and wheat this fall. In northern and western Illinois, country grain dealers quoted shell corn bids down 8 to 13 cents, ranging from 358 to 378. Soybeans down 20 to 30 cents at 1263 to 1273. In central Illinois, country grain dealers quoted shell corn bids down 5 to 8 cents at 362 to 384, while soybeans were 33 to 36 cents lower at 1249 to 1285. In the southern part of the state, shell corn bids dropped 4 to 8 cents at 374 to 401, soybean bids 37 cents lower at 1254 to 1289, and wheat bids 23 to 27 cents lower, ranging from 480 to 498. Illinois soybean processor cash soybean bids down 37 cents at 1276 to 1316, basis unchanged, ranging from 80 to 120 over the August. Hi-Pro soybean meal on a truck basis offered in a range of 437.80 to 447.80. That's down 11.50 to 16.50 per ton, and basis stayed at 50 to 60 over the August. Illinois corn processor cash corn bids down 8 cents at 378 to 401, with basis steady range from option to 23 over September. Illinois River barge loading elevators quoted producer corn bids down 8 to 9 cents at 396 to 402. Basis unchanged to a penny lower, range from 18 to 24 over September. Soybeans down 36 to 40 cents at 1282 to 1303. Basis ended mixed at 86 to 107 over the August. Wheat prices were 23 to 24 cents lower at 508 to 519, with basis steady to 1 cent lower, range from 7 to 18 under September. East St. Louis barge loading terminal elevators place their producer corn bids 5 to 8 cents lower at 415 to 419. These same elevators dropped their soybean prices by 28 to 37 cents, with quotations at 1306 to 1321. Soft red winter wheat down 22 to 23 at 527 to 535, while Milo ended 8 cents lower at $4 to 410. Contract bids to producers for new crop delivered grain in northern and western Illinois. New crop corn at country elevators, those bids range from 346 up to 360. New crop soybean bids 1038 to 1055. In central Illinois, new crop corn bids range from 350 to 369, new crop soybean bids 1033 to 1057, and in the southern part of the state, new crop corn bids at country elevators range from 354 to 368, with the new crop soybean bids at 1043 to 1066. That completes our grain report for Friday. This is Jerry Milberg with the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
And here are Friday's closing livestock futures quotes from the Chicago Mercantile Exchange. August live cattle, 149.12, up 97 cents. October live cattle, 151.65, up 92 cents. December live cattle, 153, up 60 cents. August feeder cattle, 210.37, down 22 cents. September feeder cattle, 211.62, down 57 cents. October feeder cattle, 211.45, down 42 cents. July lean hogs, 132.80, no change. August lean hogs, 128.67, up 72 cents. October lean hogs, 113.80, up 85 cents. Now time for your cash livestock report from the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
Thank you. This is Bob Reese with the U.S. and Illinois Department of Agriculture with Friday the 11th afternoon livestock report. Starting with the National Daily Direct Hog Report, calculations for a 200-pound pork carcass traded 9 cents higher in the range of 119 to 133, with the weighted average carcass price of $129.88. From the Illinois Direct Sow Report, slaughter sows were trading $2 to $6 higher, with moderate demand for light to moderate offerings. U.S. 1 and 3 grade sows under 400 pounds were 70 to 73, 4 to 5 weights 73 to 78, 5 to 6 weights 77 to 85, and 6 weights and up 80 to 88. On the Illinois Direct Hog Trade, barrels and gilts at country buying points were trading steady, with moderate demand for moderate offerings ranging from 90 to 94. Receipts for Illinois hogs today total 4,875 head. And now the report from the Walnut Livestock Auction for Thursday, July the 10th. They had receipts of 403 head, starting with the choice slaughter steers. They were 157 to 162.50. Select and choice were 149 to 155.50. Select steers were 143 to 149. On to the choice slaughter Holsteins. They were 138 to 146. Select and choice 133.50 to 139. And select Holstein steers were 120 to 132.50. Choice slaughter heifers were 153 to 159.75, with some high dressing at 161. Select and choice were 151 to 152.50. And select heifers were 144 to 146. Now on to the slaughter cows. Premium average dressing were bringing 117 to 127, with the high dressing 130 to 131. Breakers were 108 to 117, and high dressing 127. Boners were 105 to 118, and leans were 90 to 96. Now in the direct cattle trade from the National Daily Direct Slaughter Cattle Report, steers on a live basis traded at 152 to 155 and on a dress basis at 242 to 247. Heifers on a live basis traded at 153 to 155 and no reportable trade on a dress basis. From the National Daily Pork FOB Plant Report, trading for retail and processing cuts were established with 192 loads traded. Calculations for a 200-pound pork carcass was $135.33, and that's 57 cents higher. From the National Box Beef Cutout Report, values for choice and select beef carcasses were trading mixed. Choice carcasses were $251.79, and that was 38 cents lower. And select carcasses were $244.84, and that was $1.32 higher. For the estimated daily slaughter under federal inspection, cattle slaughter was estimated at 111,000. That compared to 4,000 last week and 122,000 a year ago. Hog slaughter was estimated as 275,000. That compared to 1,000 last week and 401,000 a year ago. That concludes our livestock report. I'm Bob Reese with the U.S. and Illinois Department of Agriculture.
And here are your cash grain bids from Hog Inc. July corn delivered to Greenfield, $3.84. September corn delivered to Greenfield, $3.59. July corn delivered to Scottville, $3.75. September corn delivered to Scottville, $3.59. July beans delivered to Greenfield, $12.89. October beans delivered to Greenfield, $10.56. July beans delivered to Scottville, $12.78. October beans delivered to Scottville, $10.56. July wheat delivered to Scottville, $4.99. Once again, their pre-opening prices are corn at Greenfield is $3.84. Corn at Scottville is $3.75. Beans at Greenfield are $12.89. Beans at Scottville are $12.78, and wheat at Scottville is $4.99. The Clean Water Act proposal regarding waters of the U.S. has raised many issues and concerns among the agriculture industry. Environmental Protection Agency Administrator Gina McCarthy says she and the agency understand how important and personal these issues are for farmers and ranchers.
We are really moving forward to deal with some difficult issues. Nothing's ever easy. But if we work together, I believe that we can make substantial progress and develop the kind of trusting relationship that you expect to have with an agency whose purpose is public health and environmental protection, which is frankly what the agriculture community has also been all about.
McCarthy says EPA has been trying to combat misinformation about the proposed Waters of the U.S. rule to be able to focus on the legitimate issues and concerns people have with the proposal.
Everybody is fearing that EPA is regulating groundwater, and this is simply not true. Groundwater regulations do and will fall under the purview of the states. This rule will not change that. EPA is not regulating lands or all activities in floodplains, and we're not regulating every puddle, dry wash, or erosion feature. In fact, we're attempting here to do just the opposite. And believe me, if cattle are crossing a wet field, don't get in their way. Let them cross it. It's perfectly okay. You know why? Because they know that that's a normal thing that happens on a farm. And I know that normal farming practices and all normal farming practices remain exempt in this proposed rule just as they were before.
Bottom line, McCarthy says if a farmer or rancher didn't need a permit before, the proposed rule won't require a permit now. As for ditches, McCarthy says EPA is not saying ditches are jurisdictional.
Our proposal specifically says that we're not regulating all ditches, unlike current existing regulations, which don't make that clarification. Why did we do that? Because while some ditches are actually connected to larger water systems and are therefore jurisdictional, because they're vital to public health and to water quality, the vast majority of ditches simply aren't important from a water quality perspective. I don't want to deal with them any more than you want me to deal with them. Most of them don't look and act and feel like a stream. If they don't, then they're not important. We can take them off the table. Help me put that into language that provides surety that that's what I'm going to be doing moving forward.
Regarding the interpretive rule that identifies 56 conservation practices, McCarthy says that rule was meant to highlight some practices farmers should consider doing, not narrow exemptions to those practices alone.
Some folks, when they read it, clearly thought we were trying to narrow the exemption, and only if NRCS somehow approved something would it ever be recognized as a normal farming practice. That was not the intent. And some people have thought that it meant that we were adding federal standards that had to be complied with. That was not the intent. Conservation standards that we have identified are not federal regulatory standards. They provide a roadmap for producers in a way that we hoped would encourage their use. So these exemptions really we saw as being always self-implementing.
While McCarthy knows challenges remain ahead, she says that she is very optimistic about moving forward with the rule because farmers and ranchers can inform EPA of on-the-ground concerns it needs to address. McCarthy says a collaborative approach with this rule is critical, and she's committed to addressing any concerns the ag industry brings to the table with how the rule is structured, because the outcome is what's important. That outcome, she hopes, is a rule that is clear for everyone. According to The Hill, a House subcommittee approved legislation on Wednesday to cut EPA's funding by 9% while stopping the agency from finishing carbon pollution regulations for power plants. Subcommittee Chair Ken Calvert of California says there is a great deal of concern over the number of regulatory actions being pursued by EPA in the absence of legislation and without clear congressional direction. That's why the bill includes a number of provisions to address these concerns and stop unnecessary damaging regulatory overreach by EPA. Appropriations Committee Chair Hal Rogers of Kentucky says there's been no agency that's been more unresponsive to the inquiries of the Congress about how they're spending dollars than the EPA. So Congress must exercise its prerogative to prevent this kind of bureaucratic overreach that would be crippling for the U.S. economy. According to DTN, USDA estimated 2014-2015 soybean ending stocks at 415 million bushels and corn ending stocks at 1.801 billion bushels in its World Agricultural Supply and Demand Estimates report released on Friday. Both estimates are within the range of pre-report expectations. Corn production estimates dropped 75 million bushels from USDA's June estimate to 13.860 billion bushels to reflect lower harvested acreage. The national average yield was left unchanged at 165.3 bushels per acre. USDA boosted soybean production to 3.8 billion, up 165 million bushels from June, due to increased harvest area indicated by the acreage report. The national average yield stayed the same at 45.2 bushels per acre. The 2015 Illinois crop budgets are available in the management section of FarmDoc Daily website. Budgets are given for corn, soybeans, wheat, and double crop soybeans grown in northern, central, and southern Illinois. Central Illinois is further divided into categories for high and low productivity farmland, says University of Illinois Extension Farm Management Specialist Gary Schnittke.
And for corn in central Illinois, high productivity land, we're looking at a operator and land return of about $250 per acre. That's down considerably from 2013 when it was $380 and considerably below the average for 2010 through 2013.
Again, across the state, 2015 returns are projected at the same levels as 2014 returns, which are considerably lower than the returns from 2010 through 2013. These lower returns signal the need to reduce 2015 cash rents, says Schnittke.
That is where we're at currently, and for this $250 operator and land return, average cash rent for that land would now be about $290 an acre. So we're looking at a $40 loss to the farmer if they rented land for $290 and got a $250 operator and land return. So that's where we're at.
The allotted corn price in the 2014 and 2015 University of Illinois crop budgets is $4.20 per bushel. Cash bids for harvest time delivery of 2014 crop at this time are below $4 per bushel, suggesting the 2014 price may be too high. Futures prices suggest prices near $4.20 per bushel for 2015. The 2015 soybean price is $10.50 per bushel, 25 cents per bushel lower than this year. Schnittke says the lower soybean price for 2015 is based on the assumption of increased supply of soybeans, leading to a continued movement back toward the historical soybean-to-corn price relationship. Still, the bottom line for a farmer facing a second year of dramatically lower income, or even a loss, is that cost-cutting must take place.
The lower returns would suggest that farmers should reduce machinery purchases and other capital purchases, which they are doing. But in the end, this does require a reduction in cash rents. If we're looking at $250 return, cash rents have to be below that if we want the farmer to have a positive return.
Those wanting more detailed information about the University of Illinois crop budgets, tailored to each region of the state, will find them in the management section of the FarmDoc website, farmdoc.illinois.edu. That's all for this morning's Farm Show. For WSMI, I'm Angela Besh. Thanks for tuning in.